Luke chapter 15 is our passage of scripture this morning as we think of the coming year and the opportunities that we are going to be having. The Lord often opens doors for ministry in the lives of other people, and we have no clue what God has in store. But as I focus my attention this morning on Luke chapter 15, someone has called it the lost and found department of the Bible. It just reminds us that we are either lost or we are given the opportunity to seek the lost. And we see several different things taking place in the chapter with those ideas in mind. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that then drew near unto him all of the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And this is an amazing introduction to the chapter. Just simply tells us that the Pharisees and the scribes were irritated by needy people. They didn't want to have anything to do with those that desperately needed God. But Jesus always did. In fact, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, that Jesus himself drew near unto the tax collectors, the sinners, and called Matthew to be a follower of his. And Matthew then threw a banquet with all of his publican friends and all the great sinners, and Jesus was there eating with them and ministering to them. Now we see in Luke chapter 15 that they draw near unto him. It's very easy to understand why. Because they were able to see how much he loved them. You know, it's amazing when we see how much we're loved, we feel accepted. We want to be near people that love us. But yet the scribes and Pharisees hated it. They were really upset because Jesus was going against their standard, shall we say. It seemed like higher criticism was their spiritual gift, you know. Just always criticizing what the Lord was doing. But yet, Jesus' ministry was to seek and to save that which was lost. In fact, he told the scribes and Pharisees in another passage, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. And of course, they thought, well, yeah, that's us. But I've come to call sinners to repentance. And of course, the idea is that Jesus is attracted to sinners. What they didn't understand was that all of us are sinners, regardless of our religiosity or church attendance or whatever. All of us need Christ as our personal Savior. But Jesus was always attracted to those that recognized it, that admitted it. It's kind of like a doctor spending a lot of time with sick people. You know, that's where you would expect him or her to be. In 1985, I read the story about a celebration that took place beside a very large swimming pool in the city of New Orleans. And they were celebrating the end of the summer. And it was the first summer that they had never had a drowning in one of the city swimming pools. And so they were celebrating that wonderful success story. There were over 200 people there, over 100 that were licensed life savers, what do you call them, lifeguards. Everybody had a wonderful time, great activity, great celebration, only to discover at the end of that celebration, in the bottom of the pool, a fully dressed man who had drowned in the midst of over 100 lifeguards. You know, it simply tells us that many times we like to celebrate our successes while people around us, very close to us, are drowning. And that's the community in which we live. And you either are a person who needs Christ as personal Savior, or you're a person who Christ has asked you to take the gospel to those that need him as their personal Savior. As we go further into the chapter, we're going to see that God has even given us the opportunity to go get those who have wandered astray, who have backslidden, as it were, who are members of the body of Christ, but out of fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And so it's the lost and found department. Let's read it. Verse number 3. Because of the criticism that he had received for spending time with sinners and publicans, said he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you? Now circle those two words, of you. Jesus always liked to make his teaching personal. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, that's unto the elder brother and the younger son, his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey together into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed pigs, swine, a Jewish young man, falling about as low as he could fall. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came to draw nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But he said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. I want to call your attention back to the first part of the chapter, verse number 4. Jesus' question set the stage for what he was trying to say, and I emphasized it as I was reading it. He says, for which one of you? In other words, everyone who was listening to the story, Jesus wanted them to understand, Jesus is talking to them. Which one of you, is what he was saying. And so whether you are depicted by the lost sheep in need of someone to come and rescue you and bring you back to safety, or you are depicted as one that could possibly go and search for those who are lost and out of fellowship with the Lord, the emphasis was personal. The chapter tells us of lost sheep, lost silver, and a lost son. You know, it's a sad thing that the sheep was lost, but someone searched for it. The silver was lost, but someone searched for it. But the son was lost. You ever wonder why no one searched for the son? You ever wonder why no one went to the far country? Now, they knew where he was. In fact, the prodigal son's older brother said he has been in the far country and he knew how he had been living. But yet no one ever searched for him. Kind of wonder if maybe Jesus' parable was trying to give us the idea that as the father was a representative of God the Father, maybe the elder brother is a representative of those that are still in fellowship with God the Father who need to be going out into the far country searching for those who have been lost to fellowship. Maybe so. I'm not sure. But I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this lost sheep, I want you to notice the pitiful position of the lost. The pitiful position of a lost sheep. When a sheep would just begin to wander away, he would be eating here and eating there and just kind of notice more grass over here and, oh, this looks good over there. And without really recognizing what was going on, before you know it, he's over the hill. He's out of the sight of the shepherd. He's out of the sight of all the rest of the sheep. And he continues to wander and just check out everything. And before you know it, he's alone. And Jesus called sheep dumb sheep. And if you've ever done anything with sheep, you know that they're helpless. When they get lost, they're lost. The only problem is, when a sheep gets lost, he is very susceptible to any wolf or lion or bear that might be close. And of course, the sheep does what when he gets lost? He begins to bleat. Baa! Baa! Well, instantly, all of the predators hear the bleating sheep and they're going, dinner. Not a good thing for the sheep. And here the sheep is and he's alone and he's unprotected. But then notice the peaceful position of the found. When the shepherd has gone out and done whatever he needed to do to find the sheep, and regardless of how long it took him, regardless of what kind of weather he had to endure, regardless of the cost that it took, finally the shepherd finds his lost sheep. And oh my, What a peaceful condition that is when the shepherd comes along and the sheep finally recognizes that he's been saved. And now it's true that others may have given up on that sheep. Others who may were hired by the shepherd may have said, nah, I can't find him. I looked for 3 minutes, you know, and I don't know where that sheep is, and gone back to the warmth of the house, but not the shepherd. Aren't you glad that Jesus never gives up on you? Amen. You know, other people may give up on you. Other people may give up hope. They may say, there's no hope. That person will never change. I'm so thankful that Jesus always loves you. God's love for you is unchanging. The Son's love for you is unchanging. And he is seeking to save that which was lost. And that, of course, is the picture of the lost sheep. He's seeking you right now if you don't know Christ as your own personal Savior. And many times the circumstances that you've been facing and possibly enduring have been designed by God to cause you to understand, I need God. I need God. Oh, so many times we live in a society that focuses on independence and doing your own thing, and you're cool, you don't need anybody, don't need anything. And many times God arranges your circumstances to bring you to the point that you have to say, not going well today, not going this week, this month, this year, Man, I really am, I'm messed up. God is right there. He is searching for you, and he never gives up on you. And so when the sheep is out lost and the shepherd is out looking for him, the shepherd is calling his name. Every sheep has a name. Every shepherd knows the name of every one of his sheep. And so the Bible tells us in John 10:16, he said, "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice." Aren't you glad that God is calling your name? Aren't you glad that God is saying to you, "I love you"? Aren't you glad that Jesus is saying to you, "How much do I love you?" And he spread his arms wide open. "I love you that much," as illustrated by his posture on the old rugged cross. "I love you that much." Because you see, God loves you. The sweetest story ever told, God loves you. The brightest prospect to behold, God loves you. When your way is dark as night, he will be your guiding light. By his hand, he'll hold you tight. God loves you. And I'm here to tell you, you're just like that lost sheep. You're just like the sheep that's bleeding, that's lost, and all the circumstances of your life seem to have gone against you, but God loves you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for you. He's calling out your name. And when the sheep, when that little lamb hears his name being called, oh, the joy that's there. And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. You know, sometimes, though, sheep are lost, but they don't feel in danger, and so they may hear the shepherd call, and they may run and hide because they just want to be on their own. They just want to be independent. They want to do their own thing, not understanding that there's a lurking bear or a wolf or a lion waiting to attack and destroy them, but they think, "I'm fine." They think, "I don't need an old shepherd like other sheep do." My precious friend, there's no one who doesn't need God. Every one of us need God. And when you hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, and when the Lord is tugging on your heartstrings and saying to you, "Yes, I love you, and I love you so much I sent my son to die on the cross for you because I know you by name. I made you, and I want to spend eternity with you. Please respond to my voice." That's the message in the lost sheep. And oh, what a beautiful picture when the shepherd comes along and finds his sheep. What does he do? Just as the choir was singing a few moments ago, he picks that sheep up and he puts that sheep over his shoulders, so close to the heartbeat of the shepherd. And oh, that's the place of safety. And just as the bear and the wolf are smelling that sheep and they're coming close, and all of a sudden they smell the shepherd and they go, "I guess I'll look for some more berries." Right? They don't want to deal with the shepherd because they know that shepherd will give his life for that sheep. My precious friend, that is the sweet, sweet feel of his touch when the Lord comes along and he touches your life and he begins to change your life. And all the old devil says, "Oh man, lost another one." I just love it to hair lip the devil. Amen? Isn't that fun? Just to see what God can do in changing people's lives and frustrate the devil. But let me tell you something. It takes your response. It takes your calling out to God. It takes your saying, "Lord, help!" And that's all you have to say. That's all you have to say. And when you call out to God, God hears your voice. You say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I want to change my life, but I can't do it by myself. Lord, would you come into my life and save me?" Oh, what a wonderful story that is. That's exactly the story that is seen here in this beautiful picture. And then I love the fact that it says in verse number 6, "And he taketh him home." He taketh him home. My precious friend, one day, you and I are going to be taken home. Amen. Won't that be a day? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face, the one who saved me by his grace, takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. My precious friend, this is not the end right here. You may be suffering and struggling and having a very, very difficult time. I'm here to tell you that when you are in the arms of the shepherd, he's going to take you home. Take you home. Now let's look at the aspects of being lost. First of all, I want to just kind of cover the three conditions of what it's like to be lost. Well, first of all, we've been talking about the lost sheep. That's kind of a picture of a lost soul, a person who didn't know Christ as personal Savior. And I've called it being lost to safety. This sheep is lost to safety, and he's exposed to imminent danger, and he's thoughtlessly lost. Let me just put it that way. And many people are like that today. You don't know Christ as your personal Savior, but not necessarily understanding that you need a Savior, that you need someone to come in your life and change your life. You don't sense any need, and then all of a sudden you begin to sense some emptiness and some loneliness, and maybe you're halfway through your life and you're beginning to look at your life and saying, is this it? Is this all there is to it? And recognize, well, where am I? And you're not happy with where you find yourself to be. You're senselessly lost. And somebody put it this way, you're just kind of lost through foolishness. That's what happens to a sheep who gets lost. He's just foolish. He's not thinking clearly, just foolish. Lost through foolishness. Now, notice then the second story, and that's the one of the lost silver. And just as the sheep was lost to safety, we can say that the silver was lost to usefulness. Lost to usefulness. Now, the young lady had 10 silver coins, but she lost one. And so the Bible says that she lit a candle and swept the entire house until she found that lost coin. Now, let me say this. As long as it was lost, it was useless. Didn't make a difference how much it was worth. As long as it was lost, it was useless. And you know, you and I can be believers. We can be Christians and still be lost to uselessness. Not worth anything, not a blessing to anybody, not serving God, not doing anything in the name of the Lord, just lost to usefulness. I experienced that for a couple of years of my life, first 2 years of my college career. Just not useful much at all. Second year, my sophomore year, not useful at all. Not going to, well, when I went to church, I slept. I only went to church once a week, and I slept every service. At the end of that year, the Lord had to just kind of take me to the woodshed, you know what I mean? To minister unto me. You ever been ministered unto by the Lord? You know? You see, if he taps on your shoulder and you don't respond, And then he just kind of, you know, slaps your hand and you don't respond, then he has to minister unto you. Now, do I need to explain that? You understand that? Okay. So that's exactly what he was doing. I wasn't lost. I was a Christian. I was a believer. But I was certainly lost to usefulness. I wasn't useful at all. I'd been saved since I was 6 years old. And here I am 20 years old. Living for myself, living for all my dreams and all my plans, not having devotions, not praying, not seeking God's will, not doing anything for God, and I was lost to usefulness. And that's the picture of the lost coin. And when that's true, we need to kind of light a candle and start searching. Well, what's the candle? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We need to get back into the Word of God and begin to say, Lord, speak to me. God, I'm miserable. I'm empty. I'm unfulfilled. My life is meaningless. Lord, use me. Help me to know what needs to change. And you begin to hold the Word of God up to your life and allow it to examine your motives and your priorities and your desires and the intents of your heart. And let God just speak to you. Let God say to you, now this is where I want to work, and this is where you get really angry. You know, wherever you get angry, that's usually where God's trying to work. You ever notice that? We get defensive, right? Whatever it is, let the usefulness of Christ become your passion And I want to say 2014 ought to be a year that we begin to say, listen, I may not have done much for the Lord, may not have had a place of service for the Lord in the last number of years, but this year I want to make it different. This year I want to go ahead and step forward. You say, well, Pastor, I hurt and I'm in pain. Well, then serve hurting. Amen? Listen, all of us have problems. When you get up in the morning, just simply say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, morning. There's a big difference in that, isn't there? It's the attitude that you take towards your day. Good morning, Lord. It's the first thing I say to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if you've been lost to usefulness, don't let that go any further. Well, then thirdly, is the lost son, and he is one who is lost to fellowship. He's lost to fellowship, no longer in fellowship with the Father. And what a picture so many times that is of us. Now, let's look at the three type of people that seek the lost. First of all, the shepherd sought the lost sheep to save it. That's the work of the son. The shepherd sought the lost sheep to save it. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking you right now. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, he is seeking you. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that's what you need this morning, then that is a decision that God is calling you to make, because you're a lost soul. You're lost to salvation. And the Holy Spirit, the work of the Son is taking place in your life. Then the woman sought the lost silver to use it. To use it. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to use me, and he wants to use you. And so if you are living a life of uselessness, then let the Holy Spirit of God use his word to bring you back to the point that you're saying, okay, Lord, what can I do? Don't focus on what you can't do. Don't say, well, I could never speak. I could never sing in the choir. I could never play the organ. Stop focusing on what you can never do. Begin to focus on what you could do. Amen? We have a valet service out front, and many times folks need help parking their cars, because if they had to park all the way at the end of the parking lot and walk up here, they wouldn't be able to make it. And so I mentioned to some of our Crossroads class, I said, well, we sure could use some younger people that could help park cars. And I said, of course, all you have to do is just know how to park a car. And then one of our men said, well, that lets all the ladies out. Boy, was he in trouble the rest of the time. Let me tell you something. Ladies can park cars just like men can. Amen? Even better? No comment. See, I'm the counseling pastor, and I'm looking for work. But what can you do? That's what I'm saying. Stop focusing on what you can't do and simply say, what could I do? Lost to usefulness. But then lastly, the father seeks his lost son for fellowship. And that's the work of the Father. The work of the Father. The Heavenly Father wants to fellowship with you this year. He wants to spend time in his word. He wants to fellowship with you. And many times, that's one of the things that takes place when we go through times of suffering. And Will Galkin was preaching about that this last week, how that God's design through the course of suffering is to bring us to the one who can help us through our suffering. Because if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. God helps you. God enables you while you're going through times of suffering. And we see that's exactly what the Lord wanted. He wanted fellowship with his son. And when the son finally came to himself and he realized, man, I'm messed up. Even the servants back at home are living a better life. They've got something to eat. They've got clothes. They're warm. I'm going to come back to my dad and ask him to forgive me and say I'm sorry. And dad, just let me be one of your servants. And so he comes back home. Oh, what a beautiful story. I love that story. The father was looking for his son. Elder brother wasn't looking for his brother. But the father, every day, was looking for the son. And when he saw him afar off, Now, this was totally against Oriental custom. Older men never run. They never run. It was against the custom. But not for this dad. He didn't care about custom. He took off running, running down the road. He could have just kind of stood there with his arms folded like, that's about time he came home. Yeah, what'd you go through? Lost it all, didn't you? I told you would, you know. He could have responded that way. Aren't you glad he didn't? Aren't you glad you begin to see the heart of our Heavenly Father? Amen. And fathers, that's the kind of heart God wants us to have for our kids when they've messed up. What's my response when my kids have messed up? And I don't know of anybody who doesn't have a kid who's messed up. You know what I mean? I don't know of anybody. But what's my response? You see, love puts more emotion and effort into repairing the breach than it does in punishing the broken law. I'll say that again. Love puts more emotion and effort into repairing the breach than it does in punishing the broken law. See, the father could have said, I'll show you to the servants' quarters. Or he could have said, well, get out of my sight, you ingrate. Or he could have said, all right, I'll help you work out a plan to repay me everything that you've wasted. Or he could have said, well, I forgive you, but don't you ever let that happen again. See, he could have said all those things, but he didn't. And you see in the response of the Father a beautiful picture of a Heavenly Father. Let me tell you something. All of us have messed up. All of us are like sheep who've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Oh, but praise the Lord, we have a Father that loves us. And when we come back, he is forgiving. All we have to do is, Father, I've messed up. Lord, and God says, forgiven. Robe, ring, shoes. See, servants had no shoes. He says to his father, let me be one of your hired servants. Servants wore no shoes. Servants had no rings. Servants had no best robe. And immediately the son realized, he's not going to make me a servant. He's receiving me back into fellowship. And let me say this to you. When some of our beloved fellow believers go out into sin, when they're living a life that's unpleasing to the Lord, am I like the elder brother? Am I one who is critical? Am I one who's not caring? Or am I one who will go and plead and pray and entreat and love and seek to bring back into fellowship with the Father? Because if I am, oh my, what a time of rejoicing it will be. When that person comes back in fellowship with the Lord, and a sweet time of being able to say, your sins are forgiven according to the Heavenly Father, and now we can have fellowship back together. That ought to take place in a local church as well. Amen? I couldn't hear you. Amen. Amen. When sins are repented of and turned from, then fellowship can be restored. It's sad to say the elder brother shows us what it's like when we have a heart of bitterness and anger. I was thinking as I was reading this, he missed the joy of the party. Wouldn't even go into the party. He missed the joy of forgiving his brother. He missed the joy of uniting the family together. In fact, everybody in this chapter received joy, but the older brother. Everybody. Why? Because when I have an unforgiving spirit, there's no joy. There's no joy. And sometimes you and I can get frustrated with each other, and there's no joy when we have frustration and no forgiveness in our lives. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you lost to safety? If your life were to end at noon, would you be lost to the safety of the Heavenly Father? Or has there been a time in your life that you've repented of your sin, cried out to God in repentance and faith, trusting Jesus' death on the cross to pay for your sins. If that's never happened, then the precious Son of God is seeking you right now. He's speaking to your heart. He's using circumstances to bring you to Himself. Would you, in the quietness of this hour, just simply respond to His call? Would you just say to Him, "Here, dear Lord, I'm coming to you. My life's messed up. It needs to change. And I want to come to you. And I want you to forgive my sin. And I want you to make me one of your children." If that's the prayer you need to pray, why don't you pray that right now? Afterwards, you can tell one of us about it, and we'll be praying with you and helping you take the next spiritual step that God wants you to take. Maybe you're not lost to safety. Maybe you are a believer, but maybe you're lost to usefulness. If you look back on 2013, do you find much usefulness in the kingdom of God? What is it? Not what can't you do, but what could you do? How could you serve Him? Because of everything He's done for you, God's asking you to serve Him. Would you this morning simply close the service with me in quiet prayer and say, "Lord, I've been lost to uselessness, but I want that to change in this year. And Father, give me wisdom. Help me to ask some questions. Help me to volunteer. But Lord, somehow in this beginning of this year, I want to become useful for your service, useful in your name." Well, how about lost to fellowship? You may be sitting in these chairs this morning, and your fellowship with the Lord is broken, and you know it. Would you simply cry out to God and say, "Oh, dear God, you know the sin of attitude, action, word, whatever it is, you know what it is. And oh, Heavenly Father, our fellowship is broken. Used to be there. We used to have sweet times together in your word, but not anymore, Lord. Your word is just kind of like dry cereal to me, Lord. I've left that a long time ago." And if that's the prayer of your heart this morning, why don't you just renew your relationship with Him? Just simply say to Him, "Lord, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home." Why don't you tell the Lord that right now? Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this hour, there are decisions that are being made. And I'm so thankful that you are that loving Heavenly Father, arms wide open, waiting for us to return. May we in this year never be like the elder brother, but always be like the Heavenly Father, looking for those who are lost. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.